is using K-Love to change lives. Thanks to your support.
Well, I thought that I had seen most everything. And if Jaden was a people, I'd be the king. So cold to what a brand new day could bring. So icy cold to all the wonder that should be moving me. Oh, but thinking you on the move, I'm jumping out my skin just trying to catch a view. Feels like Christmas came early. Yeah, I could stay here day and night and never feel no hurry. Needless to mention, Lord, you got my attention. My eyes are wide with wonder, feeling for the soul ascension. No one else is ever gonna do for me, ever gonna do for me what you do for me. Yeah, ain't no one ever gonna steal the mystery you put right.
Are we awake? How's that? It's okay now, John, just don't touch it. What's that? Good morning. Good morning. It's nice hearing laughs and giggles. You know, it's nice when the family comes together. You know, it's in the house. We can't ask for better. We have the opportunity to come into God's house as a family and just enjoy. I see some faces that hasn't been here in a while. That's awesome. That's great. We need to open in prayer. There's a lot going on right now. We have a lot of individuals that are sick, a lot of individuals that are hurting, and you know, we got Ralph Giese, Esther Martin, both Johns, Brad Wilson, Carol Katzenberger, Helen, David Keller. Where's he at? Oh, there's, hi, David. I'll take you off that list. He's tired of hearing his name. Yes, Dick. Oh, no. All right. Did everybody hear that? Esther Martin did pass. So let's keep her family in prayer. Danetter and Rick, Billy Edwards, Debbie Edwards. Everyone with cancer as well. Let's keep our families in prayer. You know what? We have to encourage our families. We have to. Our family is our strength and our bond. Our family is the backbone of society. If we can't encourage our families, then what good is it? Let's remember the nursing homes. Everyone in the nursing homes as well. And also our teachers. Let's do this. If you're a teacher and or students going off to college or have graduated, let's stand up and let's pray. Let's do that for the changes that have coming in the schools, the regulations, all those together. Let's go ahead, if you would, please. You know, stand up and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come into your house. I thank you, Lord, for this congregation and the families that are here. Bless them, Lord, in ways they can never imagine. Bless them with strength and encouragement, Lord. Most of all, bless the teachers. Give them encouragement. Give them strength. Give them direction, Lord. Give the family members, Lord, with just burdens in their hearts and down in their stomachs where it just doesn't feel easy for them right now. Give the students, Lord, the ability to be safe and comforted, Lord. Bless them in ways they can never imagine. Most of all, Lord, bless our troops who are overseas. Bless our presidency. Give him guidance and direction, Lord. With the upcoming elections, O Lord, give our future president, whoever it may be, Lord, wisdom, godly strength. Help us, Lord, to always give you praise. Help us, Lord, to hear from you and give you worship. Help us, Lord, to let everything that flows from our mouth always glorify your name. In your holy name, Lord, amen.
Time to give you you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Willingly we choose to surrender our lives. Willingly our knees will bow. With all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we gladly choose you now. Come. Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come. Just as you are to worship. Come. Just as you are before your God. Come.
One voice in the dark, a song that lights up the stars, one breath that gives life, one sovereign in power, who speaks with thunder and fire, one Lord, one King. There is no other that can compare to you. The one who reigns forever.
Call the two lepers and a servant's heart. So if you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles to 2 Kings 5, 1 through 19. We'll be there most of the time. I don't like to jump around a whole lot, but we will jump here and there. I find it awesome how God works. God is absolutely amazing. He blows my mind. The things that he does and he orchestrates. A lot of times I'll sit down and I'll just think of how God works. And he has a huge band. Imagine like that. In the back, he's hitting the drums, the kettle drums. And that's the little things that wake us up. And over here you have the piccolo or the fife or the flute or what have you. And it's there and it's subtle, but then at times it raises up and gets a little bit louder. And then you have the French horns and all the different parts of the brass and the components. And then things get silent. And you hear a little chime of a bell. And it chimes, and God orchestrates everything. He orchestrates everything from last week's sermons, the week before, how the songs are, into today, what's going on today with our Sunday school lessons. A lot of times they'll coincide with the songs. With the songs and the sermons, it's funny how that works as well. It comes about, and that'll also orchestrate. Last week, Pastor Vince talked in Acts 6, and he talked about servants and how things went. And that's what we're really going to talk about today as servants. We're going to talk about Naaman and his heart, but most important about the servants around him, which helped orchestrate and guide him to what had happened. God's totally awesome. A servant heart, in my opinion, can be considered the center of all things that succeed inside the church. Think about that again. The servant's heart, in my opinion, is the center of all things that succeed within the church. Because it's the heart of the servant that helps everything flow. If they're not willing, are they going to do it, church? No, right? They're just not going to do it. They take it upon themselves to act. They take it upon themselves to finish what they've started. And most of all, Vince said this last week, a servant within the church can influence others to take and help them accomplish the task at hand, right? He talked about washing the tables, right, Kat? Yeah? A servant's heart. Servants in general can weigh the tasks of others. Can we agree with that? Yes? the character traits of the servant is what's really the point there. Compassion, loyalty, trust, task-minded, eagerness. Without these, a servant isn't going to be able to do his job or her job. God built us with the willingness to want to make other people happy, right? We see a stranger on the corner. They don't have food. What do? A, give them money, or B, give them food. We have somebody within the church that has a need. What do? We help them with the need. We have people within the community that have a need. What do? We help them. A servant's heart is important. The real reason I'm saying this is church is full of volunteers. We're all volunteering our time, but before we can volunteer, we have to have a servant's heart. We have to have the ability and the thought process to go, what does the church need? Oh, they need A, B, and C. We have to go about doing the tasks, so they volunteer. Being a volunteer within the church doesn't really stop there. For most of us, we're on church boards. How about food pantries? How about soup kitchens? How about EMTs, firemen, city councils, endless amount of clubs? The point is this. Christ first came to serve, and his service, what he did was healings, was provisions, was guidance and direction. How about endless amount of love? Then he volunteered himself. He volunteered himself as a sacrifice. Success is measured by the ability to complete a task, to be done, that is the task been given or guided by somebody else. That is success. So when you see something, all right, I need to turn the lights on. What are you going to do? You're going to go over and turn the lights on, right? Is that a success or a failure? It's a success. Lights are on as long as we have power. Yeah, you caught that. So I want to read this. It says, a servant's call or a servant's guideline. It's out of Isaiah 42. This is my servant. I strengthen him. This is my chosen one. I delight in him. I put my spirit upon him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not cry out and shout out with a loud voice in the streets. He will not break a bruised reed or smother a wick. He will faithfully bring justice. He will not grow weak. He will not be discouraged until the established times of justice on earth. The coasts and the islands will wait for his instruction. How awesome is that? This is what God, the Lord, says. The creator of heavens is strength and stretched out and speaks for the earth and what has come on it, who gives breath to the people on it and the spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you for a righteous purpose. I will hold you by your hand. I will watch over you, and I will appoint you to be a covenant for my people and the light of the nations in order to open the blind eyes and bring the prisoners free from the dungeons and those sitting in darkness in the prisons of their homes. I am the Lord. This is my name, and I will not give glory to any other. For my praise, or praise to my idols, the past events have indeed happened. Now I declare new events. I announce them to you before they occur. Christ the servant, that's what he's talking about. How could we not be any happier, any more excited than that? The guidelines of what Christ was to do is there. If we could hit one line of that, of being a servant, I wonder what our church is, Big C, would look like. So I'm telling you, Naaman, it's a servant's call. Precious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the ability to come to your house. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Guide us, Lord, and let us hear it. Fill our hearts and minds, Lord, with wisdom and clarity. Bless my tongue, O Lord, and my soul. Bless me, O Lord, to be right. Bless me, O Lord, most of all, for your purpose. Help us, Lord, to hear from you today in your name. Amen. 2 Kings 5:1 is awesome. It says, "Now Naaman, commander of the army, the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given him victory in Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper." To become great and honorable takes time. That's a key here. I underlined in my Bible and also here on my sheet, it says, I underlined great, honorable in the eyes of our master, our Lord, right? That's really who our master is, God. But, you know, before we can expect or before we can go to that length, it takes time. It takes time in reading his word. It takes time on your knees in prayer. It takes time to become valuable. We're valuable, yes, our spirit, our body, and our soul is valuable, but what about being saved and moving forward to do God's work? Naaman was a mighty man of valor. I wonder if he was arrogant. You know, how many times do you see generals, or how many times do you see commanding officer, right? They do this to their uniform, they get it all, and they're polishing everything up and making sure, you know, making sure their heels are together and their shoes look good and they're walking their walk and they're talking, you know. Why are you doing that? Get your hands to your side. Get off my grass. Come on, prior service guys, have you heard that? That's my grass. Well, actually, it's God's grass. We could argue that, but they don't like that argument. Right? They don't like that at all. I've tried it. Yeah, it just doesn't work. But see, the Lord gave him victories. So I wonder if Naaman really understood who was in charge. Do we understand today? That's a big thing. Do we understand today who's in charge? Those of us who are saved, yes. Those who are walking our path with the Lord, yes. But what about the ones next to us on the left and right? Right? Military, what do you ever hear? Hey, you look after the man on your left because he's going to look after you. You look after the man on your right because why? He's going to look after you, and the guys behind you reciprocate and do the same. Church, we're no different. Right? Look in the pews. Look to your left, look to your right. Guess what? That's our call. That's our duty. In everything that we do, we must have one thought process. God has allowed us to do it. Our victories are not our victories. They're really not. They're the Lord's. The guidance and blessing, correction and direction are not for our benefits. They're for the Lord's. When he does, he corrects us with the kettle drum, right? Wake up, boom, you're not doing it right. And he gives a little bell, ding, guess what, you did it right. Here you go, here's what you're doing right. Most of the time, we'll miss the little ding. We will, guys. We'll miss the small little ding of the bell. At least I do, because honestly, so many times I'm hearing the kettlebell or the kettle drum. We all want the same goal. We want salvation for the world, right? Matthew 24:14, one of my favorite verses. I've argued it and argued it with people. It says, paraphrase this, that after my word comes, it will be a testimony, and after my word comes and is the testimony, I will come. Christ wrote that, so why are we arguing it? Right? Amen? Christ wrote that. That was Christ speaking it. It was there. We all want the same thing. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being short, fat, and round. I want to go up home, saved, and just be, I don't know, maybe at least 5'10", you know? At least under 250. I mean, it would be nice, but, you know, it's not going to happen on this world. And I'm okay with that too, I guess. With the same common goal, everybody, listen, the same common goal is servanthood. And within being servants and volunteers, guess what? We have an army. And within that army, we're powerful and we're mighty and we're directed. We have the honor. We have the value. Guess what? We have the position of the master, do we not? Why? Because we've volunteered, right? We're serving. The word of God that we hold so valuable to our heart is the basis of servanthood. It has everything from Genesis to Revelation that talks about. Read through it. If you don't find some aspect of servant on a book page, you're not looking good enough. When we have a bad day, I have my wife. She lifts me up because she's having a great day. And guess what? When she's having a bad day, guess who's having a great day? I am, you know? And I don't rub it in or nothing. I'm like, yeah, thank you, Lord. 31 days today, this month I'm having a great day. She's having 30 great days the rest of the time. But it's true. The church body is the same way. Guess what? When the person next to you might be having a bad day, a couple seats over, you might be having a great day, and you can edify them with the word. Did you know what happened to me today? My power was off, praise Jesus, but somebody came over and helped me with the tree, and they cut up a tree with me and got the tree out, and they got over, they got the power lines up. That's servanthood. But it says here also that Naaman was a leper. Did you know, I didn't know this, did you know there's different levels of leprosy? It says that he was a leper and he still held his position as a commander. It doesn't say how long he was a leper, but it says he was a leper. According to American Leprosy Missions, it's this. It's a bacteria. It's a germ. It's called Mycobacterium lepra. It's an infection that affects the skin, destroys the nerves, and causes problems to the eyes and nose. I didn't know this. And that when we think of leprosy, what do we think? Body parts just falling off, right? It just dies and falls off. That's not correct. Actually, what it is the nerve endings have become dead, so they injure themselves. And within the injury, they have to take it off because it starts dying. So Naaman was a leper. He had the beginning signs of leprosy. He had maybe a small infection. He had small issues, but he was still a commander. Do we not all have issues? All of us? We all do. No matter what it is, how big or how small, you know, how blind that we don't see it because it's our issue, so we don't want to admit to it. Somebody said that today in Sunday school. Good job. It's amazing. Our God is amazing. But we do. We all have small issues. We're sick spiritually. We're sick physically. God can heal that. He can heal it. All you have to do is come. All you have to do is let him. Mom, I love you. She said today it was simple. Christianity is simple. Thank you, Kat. It is so simple. Servanthood is simple. Hello, look at the cross. It's there. All we have to do is stop confusing it. Make it easy. 2 Kings 5. 2-3 says this, and the Syrians had gone on a raid and had brought back a captive, a little girl from Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife, and then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went and told the master, saying, thus and thus says the girl from the land of Israel. Hold on, did I not say a servant is the important part here? What would have happened to Naaman if he had never raided Israel? What would have happened to Naaman if this little girl would not have came into his household? I probably wouldn't be talking about Naaman today. As a servant, it's very important that this. I'm sure she served with every part of her heart, that she served with everything she could do. And earlier, as I said, greatness and honorable takes time. I'm sure she was with Naaman for some time in the household, and everything that she did was correct. And when she said, that is a goat, it was a goat, it wasn't a horse. Or if she said, hey, there's an issue to her mistress, the mistress was able to say, you're right, that is an issue. And over time, she worked up accountability. Over time, she worked up what? Respectability, even though she was a servant. Naaman went on raids. And they raided back then. They raided for various things, right? New lands. They could go there for new lands, right? Get greedy. They went there to resupply their troops. How about forcing people into service? Naaman went on raids for the temporal, but God wanted to bless him with a spiritual. Again, Naaman doesn't understand at this point who God is and how blessed he has been. Naaman went to his king and said, if the girl said this, I'm sure, and if the girl said that, but no, he said, the girl said thus and thus. The girl said, if I go to Israel, I can be healed. The Jehovah healer is what that is, out of Exodus 15:26. This is a healer who's not just physical. He could take the leprosy away. It's the healer who is not only that, but he's spiritual, to cleanse the body spiritually. The prophet in Israel can heal me. Do we believe that today? I mean, really. I know I do. With all my heart. I've seen it. I live it. That our God is such a healer. All we have to do is go. All we have to do is gather our family and pray. All we have to do is get on our knees. Amen. And the reason we get on our knees isn't because, oh, I need to get below everybody and everything. It's called reverence. It's called the most point of vulnerability. It's because when a man of valor, or when a man of greatness, we'll say Naaman, gets on his knees, can he protect himself physically? No, you cannot. You cannot. That's why we get on our knees. We're getting on our knees prostrate before the Lord, and we're praying and we're crying out to God on anything and everything that's going in our hearts. It's also a sign of servanthood, because we go and we bow before our master. We go, we bow before our Lord. Our Lord. Never changes. Our Lord guides and directs. But our Lord, most of all, heals. 2 Kings 5, 5 through 6. Then the king of Syria said, go and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So then he departed. He took with him talents of silver, shekels of gold, and clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel and said, now be advised, when the letter comes to you, I have my servant Naaman, a servant to you, and to you, that you may heal him. Here's a little something I want you to write down. My pastor, one of my training pastors, said this, and it's always stuck in my mind. This is what it is. It says, one day our natural abilities will take us to a place of character that our character cannot support if we are not spiritually grounded. I'll say it again. One day our natural abilities will take us to a place our character cannot support if we are not spiritually grounded. It's simple as this, that we may earn through time a position of honor or greatness or what have you with somebody else. That we call that building a bond, right? We call that building rapport. We've earned it over time. We have that going forward. We have that position. And in return, they have earned or have got that position of rapport with us. But if we are not spiritually grounded, and if we don't have our minds on correctly, we're going to ruin that rapport. That's right. Exactly. You know? In the restaurant business, it's simple. You serve 1,000 covers a day. And 999 of those covers meaning plates of food, go out pristine, right? The edges are clean, nothing on the edges. You got center mass. You have your steak, you have your protein, right? Your main protein. You have your starch, which may be like some type of rice underneath, and you have your vegetables. So you have color appeal, right? You have aromatics. Everything's going wonderful. And for me, I like saffron. I make a saffron sauce with tomatoes. Goes on beef beautifully. So you have this nice, beautiful yellow on this white plate with a beautifully marked steak, and everything's just sizzling great. The plate's nicely warm, so the food's going to stay warm, and it goes to the table. 999 plates like that. Excellent. Amen. Let's go, brother. Hey, we only got two more hours here. I got a big one today. All the pages are full. But tell you this, 999 plates, one's bad. Somebody ordered a well-done steak and I sent out a rare. How many people are going to find out about that bad plate? 999. Exactly. Out of 999, how many other people are going to find out that that plate was good? Very few. Because their expectation was this. They ordered it rare. They ordered the rice and they ordered the vegetable. They ordered a beautiful clean plate and the plate's $26 a plate. Are you gonna pay it? Absolutely. If it's at my expectations, right? If you don't get your expectations, are you gonna pay it? No. It's the same way here as this. One day our natural abilities will take us to a place that our character cannot support if we're not spiritually grounded. Our natural abilities, Naaman, he was probably a natural leader. Natural abilities. He was probably a servant-minded at the beginnings. I see that chair over there, all right? Let's four of you go over there and get that chair. Okay, so they go get the chair. Guess what? They got the chair. Now, hey, I see that land over there. Let's 400 of us go take that land, and this is how we're going to take the land. Okay, let's go take that land. Guess what? He succeeded. Now it's like, wow, that country's nice. Let's 4,000 of us go take that land also. We're going to create a supply chain, leave men here, and they're going to report to the king so we can take that land also. And guess what? They take the land. We have to be spiritually grounded. We have to be. Accountability is the key of success for everything we do. Accountability here is this. He went to the king, did he not? And he said, hey, king, this is what I've been told by the girl from Israel. And I believe it because she's built rapport. And that rapport tells me that if I go to the prophet can heal me. And the king goes, okay. Why? Because they've built rapport. So the king sends a letter ahead of Naaman to ensure his passage to the king of Israel. Normally when a commander gives or arrives on foreign soil, what happens? A war breaks out. They didn't want this. So why they took gifts? They took gifts as offerings. Said, hey, dad, by the way, I'm coming over to the house tonight. I don't expect dinner to be nice, though. I mean, I'm going to come over. But instead of you cooking, I'm cooking because I'm coming over. You didn't know I was coming, and I'm bringing gifts. I'm bringing steak. Is that all right? Dad's going to go, yeah. He is. He's going to go, yeah. But see, what he doesn't know, it's steak, small hamburgers. I love you, Dad. Yeah, so he says, stay home. See how he is. Our willingness to serve the king is valued. It really is. It's beyond value. That servant heart, though, is the key to it. It has to be a willingness that we go, okay, king, what do you want? Okay, Lord, what do you want? And when we hear those kettle drums, sometimes our Lord's going to chime that little bell. And you say, hey, go do this. Naaman served with the army. He served with armor, right? He served with a sword. He served with men around him, right? We have the exact same armor today. I've talked about it before. That armor of God is amazing. We have the sword that never changes, which is the word. But we have one thing that isn't mentioned, and it's prayer. Again, prayer. A servant being willing to stop. Being willing to get on their knees and pray. You know, I wonder sometimes if our king is proud of us. If we go to our Lord, I mean, really seriously go to our Lord. I know a lot of times I screw it up. And we go to our Lord and we say, I can't do this. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. Anyone said that to our God here? Just like Moses, God's like, oh yeah, you got it. I got Aaron over here. He's going to help you out. That could be our wives. It could be our best friends. It could be our sons, believe it or not. My sons guide me and direct me. They protect us. Because we see what's going on in front of us. And a lot of times they see everything outside of us, what's going around. So I ask you this, is when things are going rough, do we ever stop and go, okay, Lord, who am I serving? Who am I accountable to? My big word that I don't like, I bring it up a lot, accountability. So, yeah, thank you, Kat. Accountability is huge. It's hard because we got to go, hey, can I do this, King? Is it okay? God's like, no, I don't want to do that. Okay, I'm not going to do it that way, Lord. I'm going to do it this way, but I'm going to get myself over there. A lot of times it will not ever succeed. Accountability is key. 2 Kings 5, 7 through 8. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter. He tore his clothes and he said, am I God to kill and make alive? That this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy. Therefore, please consider and see how he asks, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was that Elisha, the man of God, heard, by the way, the servant of God, how's that sound? Heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, and he was sent and he's saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet of Israel. See, Jerome was actually the king, and he was a wicked king, and that was the king at the time. He took over Ahaz's throne when he had died, and he clung to the sins of Naboth. Jerome didn't know God. He didn't serve God. It's right here, plain and simple. You know, he says, am I God? Why couldn't he have simply said, I'm a servant of God. Come here, let's cleanse you, let's anoint you, and let's pray over you. Or let's go do this, but he didn't. He actually tore his clothes, and he saw Syria as a threat. Do we ever see things like that as a threat? Somebody comes to you and says, hey, pray for me. I don't want to pray. I'm busy. Is that right for us? No. We're servants of God. We stop and we pray. I don't care if you're in a parking lot in a one-way traffic blocking it. Stop and pray. Just go, hey, hold on a minute. We're praying. Just 1 minute. Right? At work. You're at work. People come up to you. Hey, I'm having an issue. Let's pray. Let's go right here and we pray. It doesn't have to be this huge prayer, long prayer. Stop and pray. It's the most powerful thing we have. Jerome literally went mad over this. He ripped his clothing and he went into a point of mourning. It took a servant of the Lord. He says this, when you have no faith, this is what I'm saying here, servants of the Lord, listen, when we have no faith, we have nothing. When we have no faith, we don't have anything. We might as well not even give reverence to our Bible, to God's written words. When we have no faith to where God says, hey, this is going to happen. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to happen. It may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen next week. We may never see it, but if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I call this a Superman moment. The God of man arrives on scene. He's here. Elisha's there. God's timing is always perfect, and he waited for this one time for Israel, the king of Israel, to just lose it. And Elisha shows up. I got this. Don't worry about it, King. I got this. Let him come to me and we'll pray and we'll show Syria that there is a God in Israel. Come on over. I got this. Nice and calm. Select. Come on over. You know, Elisha did it out of respect. He said, please let him come to me. He didn't say, hey, get over here, Naaman. I got you. Don't worry about it. See this baptismal over here? Come on, let's go dip. You're healed. You know, he didn't do that at all, right? He said, please. He stopped, and he respected the authority. He said, there's a king. I still have to respect the king. The point is this, is that we don't have to respect the person. We have to respect the position of authority. And I'm going to go on a tangent here. I am. You ready? Our president is in the office because he was elected by God. God put him in that position. We don't have to like Trump. We don't have to. But we do have to respect the position. That's right. Right? Our school boards, guess what? We don't have to like the people on the board. We don't. But we have to respect the position. Right? City boards, the exact same thing. God appointed them. Respect and authority over us is huge. Second Kings 5, 9 through 12. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent out a messenger saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and it shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away, said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord God and wave his hands in this place and heal me of my leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar rivers of Damascus better waters in Israel? Can I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. Again, guess what? Here comes a hero. Can you imagine Naaman and the chariots around him and the round is rumbling right here? He's a man of valor. Look at him and stay off my grass. Look at me. I'm polished and put away. You're going to come to me because I'm the man of valor. He totally misses the point here, doesn't he? Think about it. He's missing the point. It's not how he wants it. It's how God wants it and how God's going to do it. It's about the servant's heart and the mind. It's about what he wants for Naaman. I look at this huge parade of the Superman moment for Syria. Here comes Naaman, right? With the chariots. How many saw the parade for the fire department with our heroes back from Afghanistan? Anybody see that? Yeah, some? No? It was amazing. Fire departments from Savannah and Mount Carroll here, we all got together, and we drove through the cities, and here's this huge parade, sirens going everywhere, banners all over the place saying, welcome home. I kind of see it like this, as Naaman kind of has the same procession going on, so he thinks, look at me, here I am, I'm getting what I want. But he's not. The commander goes away in a furious, he's absolutely furious. Do you know even today, our president has a protective service, yeah? Yeah, we know that, right? That's common sense. Do you know our pastor has the same thing? Or should? Yes? You know what that's called as an armor bearer? Is the armor bearer is the most important person next to the pastor. It could be anybody. It could be his wife. It could be his best friend. It could be somebody in the congregation. Naaman had the same thing here going on. He had his chariots going around, and with him in the chariot was his armor bearer. The armor bearer does everything. Checks the armor, makes sure it's good. Makes sure the weapons are good. Makes sure the horses are good. Horses are good. Makes sure the wheels are good. Wheels are good. So there he is taking care of Naaman. The armor bearer will protect that person at all costs. That person is valued. The position of authority is a lonely place. It's a place that can't be swayed. I'm going to be stepping on toes here in a minute. It can't be swayed ever. That position of authority helps keep everything run spiritually and smooth, hopefully. That position of authority wants everybody to be happy. Wants everybody to do what needs to be done. Wants everybody to serve. Wants everybody. And they're on a point. And if they sway to one side of the point of that sword, they're going to get cut. If they sway to the other side, they're going to get cut on the other side. Godly authority is key to the success and growth of a church. Amen? Yes, thank you. The authority needs to be put together. We cannot take and say, hey, we need this, this, and this, and this. Great, excellent. Pastor hit on it last week. You have that idea? Go do it, servant. That's your job, right? We're going to pick the 7 out of Acts. Go do it. This is your job. Why was Naaman furious? You know why he was furious? Because he couldn't get it his way. He expected Elisha to come out and give him reverence. God had a total different mindset. God wanted to heal him spiritually and physically, but God wanted to do it his way. Our plans on what we want mean nothing to God. And I have a hard time with that. I do. God, I want a one-story ranch house, four bedrooms, hot tub off the back, swim pool in the back. God, that ain't going to happen, right? What we want does not happen. God guides us and directs us. He gives us what we want. He humbles us. He corrects us. He directs us. Second Kings 5:13-14. And his servants came near and spoke to him. My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more then should he say, wash and be clean? So he went down and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to what was saying the man of God, and his flesh was restored. To be a servant and guided and directed, we have to be humble. You can never be a servant if you're never humbled. Ever. You have to be humbled and broken and twisted and mangled, and God will get done with you like those rubber, like the balloons that the clowns make. The next thing you know, you got this thing of glory that comes out, and God's going, this is what you're supposed to be. This is what you were, and I had to twist you and put knots in you, and here you are now. And God goes, now I can use you. It is when we're humbled we can become clean. That again, it's going to take somebody to possibly guide us and direct us to do it. 2 Kings 5:15-16. And he returned to the man of God, he and all of his aides, and he came and he stood before him and said, indeed, now I know there's no God in the earth except for Israel. Now, therefore, please take these gifts, for I am your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives and I stand, I will not receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but again he refused. Naaman returned a new man. He had taken, he dipped, and he had seen what God had in store for him. That all this time, I think, at that one moment, his eyes were open, and all of a sudden he's like, whoa, wait a minute, I've been missing this my whole life. And Naaman goes, oh, that victory here, God directed. I could see how he directed, he moved me there. That victory there, I could see God moved me and he directed me there. And he's clean and a new man, and he goes, guess what? There is one God, Jehovah the healer. And that God is of Israel. And folks, let me tell you, that God is the God we serve today. Amen? That is who we serve today. He returned a new man. He had gifts he wanted to offer. And Elisha said, no, I'm good. The only gift I have and the only gift I need is Jehovah, is God. Elisha's good. Oh, I may look like I'm in rags, but I'm good. We're getting ready to wrap up here. Unless I go the other 5 pages. Remotely turn your roast down, folks. We're going to be here a while. So Naaman said in 2 Kings 5:17-19, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer burnt offerings and sacrifices to other gods, but only to the Lord. Let in this way the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, he leans on my hand and I bow down at the temple. When I bow down in the temple, may the Lord please pardon your servant. Then he said to him, go in peace. So he departed with him with the earth. Prior to this, Naaman didn't want to dip himself in the Jordan. He found it filthy. He found it not worthy. He found it disgusting. I'm sure some things I've read, it was high tide. So if you imagine overflowing with earth and debris and everything else, Naaman didn't want to go do that. Now he comes back a completely spiritually, physically new man. And he says, let your servant please have earth so I can take it back. And he wants to form it into a holy area, a holy ground where he can take and worship on there to God. Soil that is sovereign. What's our sovereign soil? What is it to us? that we can come and worship to our Lord? Is it a closet or some area at the house where we can just pray and worship? That's our soil. Is it this church? No, it's not this church. It's sovereign. God's here. Where is it for you guys? So as the worship team comes, we'll get ready to close. I want to close with, get ready to close with this. It says, Matthew 8:1-3. When he came, came down from the mountains, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. He says, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately, the leper was cleansed. As servants, volunteer. Get your heart right. This is for all of us. Be willing to volunteer and give everything you have. That's the only thing that's going to make church, Big C, church grow. That's the only thing that's going to get the world where it needs to be. Go back to Matthew 24:14. When the Lord's word comes, he will follow. Thank you for being here today. As you leave, please put your offerings in the back of the plates. There's plates back there. And may God bless you and guide you and protect you. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this family. I thank you, Lord, for the ones that are listening. I ask that you guide their hearts and their minds. Just guide us all, Lord. Protect us with provisions through your grace. Help us, Lord, to be servants-minded. Help us, Lord, to be willing. Most of all, Lord, to volunteer and to always volunteer your word to whoever needs it, to serve, Lord, to serve mightily by you. Fill us with wisdom and integrity. Help us, Father, to be wise. Bless us this week in your holy name, Lord. Amen. Have a great week.
Get that one push it on. Usually the sound person does a lot of that stuff. Well,
but,
I do
if,
anyways.
Yeah, but if something is needed,
yep.
We need to know how to do it.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you all.